From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Russian negotiators at the meeting of the G20 have complained about the U.S. Federal Reserve and its move to insert $600 billion into the U.S. economy last week. And business groups opposed to the federal estate tax say they're willing to do a short-term compromise with congressional Democrats. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the nearby soft red winter wheat up 7.5 cents at 7.36 1/4. The July there at 8.01 1/4, up 7 1/4 as well. December corn futures at 5.85 1/4 in Chicago, down 2.5 cents. The March at 5.99 1/4, 2.5 lower. And May at $6.06, down 2.5. July corn 6.09 1/4, 2.5 lower. And the September at 572.5, down 3.25 cents. The nearby, or the deferred December contract in the corn pit for the day at 553, a settlement price down 2.25. November beans at 1264.5, down 9 cents. January at 1274.75, 9.25 lower. The March 1283.25, down 9.25. May futures at 1286.5, down 8.75. July beans at 1291, down 9.5. And next year's November at 1214.75, down 7.25 cents. Bean meal finished $3.10 lower. Bean oil down $2.90. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the nearby December live cattle at $98.40, 85 cents higher. November feeders at $111.25 were up 65 cents on this afternoon. The January there at $111.62.5, up 85 cents. And December lean hogs at $67.50 finished the day 20 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $87, up 15 cents a barrel. Ethanol at 234.7. That's 0.1 cent higher. Natural gas at $4.08.2, up 14.5 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.39.8, up 1.3 cents. The gold futures at $402.80 an ounce, up $5.50. The Dow now at 11,401, just about 43 points lower. And the dollar at 77.03 is up 0.48 for the day. The CRB index at 315.25 is 1.69 higher on this afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. Speaking of the afternoon, they say today in the Urbana-Champaign area should be sunny, a high near 69 degrees. South-southwest winds between 9 and 11 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 15. Tonight, clear, a low of 39 degrees. South-southwest winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. And tomorrow, sunny, a high near 70. South winds at 6 to 10. Tuesday night, mostly clear for Urbana-Champaign. A low of 44 degrees. Southwest winds at 7 miles an hour. And then Wednesday night, mostly sunny, a high of 72. That's Wednesday day. A high of 72. South winds between 6 and 15. When we get to Wednesday night, it'll turn partly cloudy, a low of 50. On Veterans Day, Thursday should be sunny and a high of 70 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 49. And Friday, partly sunny, with a high of 66 degrees. For the weekend, Friday night, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms. It'll be mostly cloudy, a low of 48. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms remains. Mostly cloudy, a high near 54. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 36. On Sunday, it'll be partly sunny, a high near 49 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour, when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is with us. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What'd you make of the marketplace today, and what do you think will happen when we get to the report?
Well, consolidation. We saw wheat a little firm here. Wheat's probably trading more of a weather forecast versus the report tomorrow, whereas the corn and beans will hinge more on the report tomorrow, see what numbers are, and trade's pretty well dug into a little smaller corn crop and a little bigger bean crop on the production side, but offset by adjusting the demand figures. Overall, the trade's dialing in carry out on corn, beet, queen, probably pipeline supplies when it's all said and done. We'll go from there, but for the most part, beans will start to hinge on the forecast for South America, and that's probably what got into the bean market a little bit. They had a little bit more of a favorable forecast, a little bigger production number, some private estimates there. See what that says. But talking about Southern Hemisphere beans, probably the biggest number we'll be watching tomorrow is if there's any more light shed on Chinese corn production. That's probably the biggest wild card as we move into this winter as far as demand. Feels like bean demand's pretty well booked up here. You know, Southern Hemisphere has some issues or problems. We can see some additional bean demand come our way, but corn seems to be the next thing to come in suit as we look down the road here.
You know, you suggested pipeline supplies. Is that 900, 800, or 700 million bushels?
Don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
We got still a lot of, still here, we got some grain sitting and some spots needs to be blended yet, so that's what we're going to work for. Our best guess is 750 million bushels. It's kind of tough because when you have bigger numbers, you got bigger, the percentage is a factor there, but we're dialed in 750 right now, Todd.
To right now, producers should simply hang on and wait to see what happens tomorrow, I suspect.
Might as well. Guys are pretty well where they want to be. Guys pretty well sold up and what they want to sell. I think they want some higher prices to materialize. Even if we do have a bearish surprise tomorrow, we kind of feel that there's still some demand out of the market and it'll be bought. So we'll have to see what the reaction is more than anything to the report. But we've got tonight's trade yet, so if you're uneasy, you can still trade tonight ahead of the report until 7:15 in the morning. Of course, 7:30 Central Time is when the numbers will be out.
It'll be out at 7:30, and about that same time, Dave Dickey will be feverishly putting them into our website at willag.org and into an email and into a text as well that you can sign up for if you'd like at willag.org. He'll send that out in the morning. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. Okay, so we're settled in, ready for tomorrow. You mentioned a bearish surprise. Where might that show up?
Well, you could see them raise bean yield, but not raise the demand. You could come in and see one of the corn numbers not follow suit. You could lower corn yield a bushel or two, but then on the demand side, you could see fears of we're moving higher to ration and not see the carryout drop that much due to the demand equations. There's so many numbers to juggle. It's going to be a fine art for it to kind of balance out when it's all said and done. So just about anything could happen here. We were almost a year ago, January report, you know, oh no, it's not an event, and we were limited down. And after that set the trend before a couple reports after that, we've seen limit moves. So in this atmosphere, with the big money out there, just about anything can happen. And that's why it's really important as a producer is to be managing risk and have some risk protection on, because with the volatility we have, it wouldn't be surprised to be limit up or limit down.
How do you do that?
It's very complicated when you listen to people talk about it if you've never done it before. The easiest way to do it is sit down with one of the analysts you hear on this program. They've all got different types of styles, and they got all kinds of good different ideas. But you can come in and hold cash inventory in the grain bin or elevator if you're comfortable with that, but yet have some downside protection with some paper positions that can involve futures or options or a combination of the two. The other thing that's become quite popular here on this rally is to push the cash grain out the door, get your money, put it in the bank, then re-own some inventory on paper, so that way if we do go ahead and run this corn up another dollar, dollar and a half, beans up another dollar or two, you can participate. But if the thing would roll over for some reason, you can have at risk risk parameters work with. For example, we sold a lot of cash grain and renewal options for 20 cents. If the market goes down, we have 20 cents at risk. But, you know, who knows, what's China going to do tomorrow? You know, there's a lot of variables out there that could move this market, not just the USDA reports, but different countries and different portfolio managers can cause havoc in the marketplace.
Kurt, thank you so much.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Monday afternoon. In a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with all the agricultural news for the day. Dave will also be in early in the morning, as I said a little earlier in this program. About 7:30 USDA Central Time will release its WASDE, that's the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates, and the November Crop Production Report not long after that. Dave will put out an email that comes in my name, but it actually comes from him, with an update of what's happening in the marketplace. Actually, that email's already out, but he'll text you if you subscribe to our newsletter over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org with the latest numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. It's all part of the service here at WILLAG.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, Russian negotiators at the G20 meeting today say that the G20 should be consulted ahead of major decisions such as the U.S. Federal Reserve's move to inject an extra $600 billion into its banking system. Last week's further loosening of U.S. monetary policy has drawn criticism from policymakers in both emerging and developed economies. China and Germany have been especially vocal in their criticism. Business groups that oppose the federal estate tax say they are willing to back a short-term compromise with congressional Democrats in order to avoid the tax returning to its highest level in 10 years. If Congress does not act, the tax will return in 2011 to hit all estate wealth above $1 million at a 55% rate. Many Republicans are likely to push for the estate tax plan, which would exempt estates under $5 million with a 35% rate for those larger. European Union legal experts seriously doubt that plans to let European Union member states decide for themselves to grow or ban genetically engineered crops are in line with global trade rules. The European Commission made legal proposals in July to let governments to make up their own decisions on the controversial crops. But a new opinion from the EU Council of Ministers Legal Service could deal a fatal blow to the plan after several EU governments already expressed fears that the draft law risks breaching World Trade Organization rules. A key concern raised by the legal experts is how governments would justify a cultivation ban after the Commission had ruled on environmental or health grounds for prohibitions. Aggravated Chinese truck drivers today parked for hours to buy rationed diesel fuel as shortages blamed on a government conservation campaign and possible hoarding by state oil companies disrupted industry and trade. Supplies ran low after thousands of factories bought diesel generators to cope with power cuts imposed by authorities to meet energy-saving goals. And the chairman of Libya's National Oil Corporation today says that OPEC sees no need to boost its output when it meets next month, even though oil prices have rallied to a two-year high above $87 a barrel. Libya, one of the 12 members of the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, has been arguing that a weaker dollar hurts the group because they rely on revenues from oil priced in dollars to pay for imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. By the way, Dave and I will be traveling this week to Kansas City on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. It doesn't mean a whole lot for you other than during this program, I won't bring you live updates from the settlements. So be aware of that. No settlements on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday during the closing market report. But we will have regular guests talking about commodity market analysis and a whole bunch of extra stuff coming from the NAFB convention in Kansas City. Now, up next, you know, mark your calendars for the 2010 Ag Masters Conference. It's the second and third day of December at the I Hotel and Conference Center right here in Urbana-Champaign. Four advanced sessions have been added to this year's Ag Masters program, and the general session has been shortened to meet producers' needs, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist and Ag Masters Conference coordinator Mike Gray.
It's a two-day program, last year was our inaugural run with the Ag Masters Conference. Little different format this year. We responded to suggestions from participants last year and modified the program to meet their expectations, and we hope and believe we can deliver on that. Bottom line, the two-day conference, the first half day on December 2nd, will be a general session. The following afternoon and the next day will be breakout sessions, advanced sessions, classroom style, intensive instruction, two-hour periods with instructors. And the registrants can pick and choose what classes they're most interested in.
This is a tight conference, and there are just 160 seats available. During the December 2nd general session, speakers will focus on climate change and its impact on Illinois agriculture, with a special emphasis on weed management challenges. The advanced sessions will mirror classroom settings, but interaction from the participants is very welcomed. Classes will be limited to 40 participants per session. Each advanced session runs for 2 hours and will be repeated once, says Mike Gray.
Well, during the advanced sessions, we have a number of different topics. There are 12 altogether. And one thing that we've really tried to create with this particular conference is, you know, bringing in instructors from other campuses to give our audience a chance to hear different perspectives. For instance, we've got Bob Nielsen from Purdue University coming over to talk about row spacings and plant populations in corn. We've got Larry Steckel coming up from the University of Tennessee to talk about glyphosate-resistant weeds, lessons learned in Tennessee. We've got Ann Dorrance coming over from Ohio State University. She'll be discussing soybean and corn seedling disease management and seed treatments. Matt O'Neill from Iowa State University. Matt is a graduate of the University of Illinois, but he's now a professor over at Iowa State. And he'll be talking about aphid-resistant soybeans and whether or not insecticides are needed.
Registration for the Ag Masters Conference is open now, but is limited to the first 160 registrants. And sign-ups for the advanced sessions will be on a first-come, first-served basis. The cost is $300 or $325, depending on when you register. Registration's available online. Search Google for Ag Masters Illinois. Ag Masters is one word. Or call toll-free 800-321-1296. That's 800-321-1296. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County, is Matt Payne to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers busy just waiting it out for tomorrow morning's reports?
Absolutely. It's been a sit-and-wait kind of day. Guys are being optimistic. We're feeling, we're tending to agree with them that probably a lot of this has already been factored in, but we still think there's a little bit room to go, and being patient right now we feel is probably the best answer.
End user demand strong for both corn and soybeans?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We just looking at emails, we got a note saying how Brazil was going to need a lot more ethanol than they ever expected, which means, hey, we got stuff to sell them. China keeps buying, it's a good thing. As long as we can keep these livestock guys happy with these high prices, I think so far we'll be okay.
The livestock producers complaining much to you folks?
Locally, we don't see a lot of livestock guys. We don't around this area, but our other locations, especially out west in Nebraska, they are feeling the pinch already.
Well, don't you ship though to the southeast?
Absolutely, but I mean our customers that we're dealing with local right here in Champaign, they haven't been saying much out there. They're still working on old hedges, so they haven't been saying too much either.
Oh, okay. Right. So, and then to the southeast, the poultry and hog producers then in the Carolinas are still satisfied and capable of making money?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I was trying to
right,
get at.
Right, right.
Okay. What are your expectations for tomorrow's report?
I'm feeling that I would like to see it corn down to about a 153. The trade average is 154.4. Beans, I think, could be as much as 45. Estimate is around 44.6. So I'm pretty much in line with what average is, maybe a little less on corn, a little more on beans.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 578. Deese delivery, 578. January, 587, February, 590, and fall, 11, 518. On the bean side, cash beans, 1244, Deese, 1255, January, 1265, February, 1268, and fall, 1170.
Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
You too. Matt Payne is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market in just 2 minutes. I'll return when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Harvey Wallbanger Day. It's also St. Kestris, Patron of Cattle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1789, Elijah Craig, according to some historians, distilled the first bourbon whiskey from corn in Bourbon County, Kentucky. What's not in dispute is that Craig founded a distillery, as well as building Kentucky's first cloth manufacturing mill, its first paper mill, and its first mill for manufacturing rope from hemp. In 1880, Edwin Drake died, an American driller. He discovered the first productive oil well near Titusville, Pennsylvania, that launched the modern U.S. petroleum industry. He struck oil at a depth of 69 feet on August 27th of 1859. Drake used an old steam engine to power the drill. Ironically, Drake died in poverty after years of crippling illnesses. In 1910, a patent for the first electric insect zapper was issued to William H. Frost of Spokane, Washington. The invention used a number of electronically charged parallel wires. In 1923, Jack Colby was born. An American electrical engineer, he invented the first integrated circuit, for which he shared the 2000 Nobel Prize in Physics. And in 1974, London's famous flower and vegetable market moved from Covent Gardens. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media and the U of I at the Urbana-Champaign campus. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us today. On a Monday afternoon, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And let's start with Argentina today. Tell me about their progress through the beginning of the growing season.
Yeah, well, they've had some dryness issues across portions of Argentina, particularly the northern and the eastern provinces of that country. And that has gotten a little bit more concern here over the past month or so, as some of the precip deficits during this time frame are running about 50% of normal, or less than 50% of normal rainfall over the past month in northern and eastern Argentina. And the way that the forecasts here are shaping up, we just don't see anything over the next 10 days that would significantly improve soil moisture reserves across Argentina. There's going to be some rains, but they don't look widespread enough to really contract the dryness. So it looks like we're going to continue to have some dryness issues. Again, this is not, you know, a major situation, but certainly something to keep an eye on. They're going to need, you know, more significant precip coming up later on this month to at least get the vast majority of the crop in with adequate soil moisture reserves.
And when you look ahead for them in the months of November, December, and possibly into January, do you see any major events off the coast of South America that will be impacting their weather in Argentina and Brazil?
Well, the one factor that goes, at least Argentina and southern Brazil, getting any kind of like long-duration wet spells across that area, which would provide, you know, a much-needed boost in soil moisture, is the ongoing La Niña event. And La Niña is typically featured below normal precip during the months of December and then on into January. And it's going to come down to at least the magnitude of the dryness and where exactly is that dryness, how does that shape up as we get into next month. So that continues to be something that's in the back of our minds and something that, you know, needs to be watched here as we go into the heart of the growing season.
Is the La Niña considered a slight or a strong La Niña at this point?
It's at moderately strong levels here, Todd. We actually did reach strong levels back a few weeks ago when sea surface temperature anomalies in the equatorial Pacific were colder than a degree and a half Celsius. But we've seen a little bit of a weakening here, but bottom line here is that you're at moderately strong levels. La Niña is just going to simply be with us here for many more months.
In the United States, it's beautiful today. 69 degrees outside here in November.
You can thank La Niña for that here, Todd, with the warm fall that we've experienced here for the most part. And that continues for another 4 or 5 days before more seasonal temperatures work their way in.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on a Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org tomorrow morning if you haven't already gotten an email from us. You can visit the website and see the updated numbers. Not long after 7:30, USDA will release the crop production and world agricultural supply demand estimates at that time. We'll also send a text to the folks who are already signed up at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.